Great. Hi, ladies. Okay. Well, I just wanted to introduce myself. As Brianna said, I'm a coach, and I have a passion for helping women realize their potential and develop skills to live authentic, purposeful lives. So I'm just excited to be here tonight. I love the theme that you'll have this year because it's just right up my alley. So how many of you work outside the home? Raise your hand. Okay. And how many of you are stay-at-home moms? Okay. All right. Well, you face the same challenges, right? The never-ending pile of laundry, the dirty diapers, the preparing meals, finding time for yourself, alone time with your hubby, all of those things. So, and there's little time for yourself. So stress, feeling overwhelmed, easy to go feeling unappreciated because we don't often get enough recognition. We don't get recognized for what we do. So some days you just want to quit. And I understand that myself. So what does be bravely mean? Be you bravely? It can mean a lot of things. To me, it has become a journey of self-discovery, resiliency, and learning to live with intention. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story and some things that God has been teaching me. First of all, I want to talk about mediocrity. It's natural. You don't have to do anything. You just kind of drift there. And it just happens. And before kids, you're married and things are going pretty good, right? You can get a workout in, get a shower, do your makeup. You even have your to-do list. And you get most of those things done. And then children come along, and it's like, wow, I'm still in the same clothes that I was in. I haven't had my shower, no makeup maybe. So it's easy to, you know, then you think, well, where's my to-do list? I knew I wrote it somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. So you understand what I'm talking about. So mediocrity, it just happens. And life, it's not Leave It to Beaver. It's not that easy. So 7 years into my marriage, I was 26 with 2 preschool children. And my husband was very involved in his work, in his career in the military. And I was a stay-at-home mom. And outside, it looked like we had it all together. We had a lot of hidden issues, though. Poor communication and unreal expectations, codependency and infidelity. And for several years, we were in this crazy cycle, doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. There's a quote by Dorothy Canfield Fisher. She says, "If we would only give the same amount of reflection to what we want out of life that we give to the question of what to do with 2 weeks vacation, we would be startled at our false standards and the aimless procession of our busy days." Trials and challenges have a way of getting our attention. I heard a broadcast by David Jeremiah recently on trials, and it was called The Bend in the Road. It was just a week ago or so ago. And he's talking about these events that happen in our lives, you know, life-threatening diseases, the loss of a job, a death of a child, and in my case, a betrayal of a spouse. If you haven't had a severe trial like that, it's going to happen. And, I mean, I'm not saying that to be pessimistic. It's real. It's realistic. And we live in a fallen world. And being a mother of young children can sometimes feel like you're alone in the desert. And we ask, you know, why is this happening to me? And just rest assured that your life is in the hands of God. He is right there with our pain. He's comforting. He's guiding, he's encouraging, he's teaching, he's sustaining. And he allows painful situations to grow us, to train us, so that we can be a blessing to others. So here are some things that I've learned, and I'm still learning, to how to have courage to be you bravely. And the first is begin with yourself. You know, like the flight attendant telling you first to put on the oxygen mask before you help assist others, right? Okay. It's that principle. Courage is giving yourself permission to focus on yourself. Instead of focusing on others and what they need to change, look at yourself. Ask yourself, what are some things that I could do different? How am I contributing to the problem? Change begins with you. Don't let mediocrity steal your joy. Don't settle for good when you could have great. Don't wait for somebody else to make the first move. You be the one to make a change. Begin with yourself. Okay? So that is being you bravely. The second point I want to make is explore who you are. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in helping other people that we lose our identity, and that's what happened to me. I was a people pleaser. I am a people pleaser. And I was often afraid to share my heart because I didn't know what people would think. I was like, oh, I can't really tell them how I feel because they might not like me. They may reject me. And my thought, my worth was wrapped up in what I did and how well I did it and how much I did. And I think as moms, we do that. But think about how you love your children. It's not based on what they do. It's you just love them for who they are. And that's how God loves us. It's not so much about what we do or don't do. He just loves us, and he's crazy about us. So first, you know, explore yourself and who you are. The second is explore your priorities and how you spend your time. You know, what's important to you, and how do you spend your time? It's money or your career, things like that, like your health, your family, your relationship with God. What's the most important thing? How can you make better use of your time? Do you spend your time on the internet, you know, texting, when we could be on the floor playing with our kids, or spending some alone time with our husbands? So the clearer that you are on your values and what's important to you, the easier it's going to be in your decision making. So just want to make that clear. Research tells us that feelings of love dissipate on an average of 18 months to 2 years after we get married. After that, love becomes a choice. So it's a decision of the will. So in spite of conflict and differences and annoying habits and infidelity, I chose to love my husband based on my values, not based on my feelings, not based on my circumstances. The Lord really spoke to me and made me aware of my own shortcomings and how critical I could be of my husband. And I had become resentful and angry and trying to control and fix him. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I realized that I could never do enough, and I couldn't change my husband's heart. Only God could do that. And so my relationship with God became my first priority, and I asked him to change my heart. The third way that you can be brave is to break free of those false beliefs, the negative thinking, the habits, and the behaviors that are holding you back. They're getting in the way of being the best you. God designed you with certain gifts and abilities, and he wants you to use those. Avoid comparing yourself with other moms. Facebook is not always good for that. We become a slave to it. Do you breastfeed? Do you bottle feed? They have a nicer car than me. She's got 5 kids and she can be on time. I have 1 and I'm never on time. I'm always late. So things like that where, all of those things can bring self-doubt and create this feeling that you're not good enough, that you don't measure up. But know that you do. In God's eyes, think of your child and how you feel about them. That's how God feels about you. I love P90X Tony Horton. He says, do your best and forget the rest. And so that helps me when I'm like, I'm not doing it right, or I'm not doing well enough. Just do your best and forget the rest. Acknowledge, take responsibility for those areas that you know that you need to work on. Think about that later. Be intentional. How do you want your life to be different? What can you do to change the circumstances or the situation? Be creative. Think of some things. Be proactive. So that might mean breaking off a relationship that's unhealthy, somebody that's being negative. Hang around with people that are more positive. So, establish boundaries. What you allow is what will continue. So the more that I saw the truth of God's word, the more I saw the lies that I believed about myself and about others. The truest thing about you is what God says, not what you think or feel, not what others say or think or do. The truth about you is what God says. Number 4, have the courage to realign your life with your vision, your values, and God's purpose for you. It's like driving without a GPS or a map. A lack of direction keeps you from being effective. Where there is no vision, the people perish, says Proverbs. What is the vision that you have for your life? I went through the early part of my life just living, I knew I wanted to be married and have children. But after that, I was letting circumstances dictate how I lived. Now I try to live more purposefully. And because faith is one of my core values, I've made a conscious effort to spend time with God every day. Now, when you have young children, that's not easy to do. But if you can find a time, just saying a prayer, in the shower, or when you're cleaning up the kitchen, or doing folding laundry. When negative thoughts would come, I would think about what God says is true. I no longer looked at my husband for my happiness. The Lord became my number one husband, and I loved the passage in Isaiah 54:5. Where it says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. I don't know if you've ever done a study on the names of God, but when I came across that name, it changed me. I was like, wow. It was just very freeing. So I just felt like that was a personal thing for me, that God loved me that much. So then, of course, my husband is second priority, and then my children were third. I think sometimes when we aren't getting our emotional needs met, we tend to get our needs met through our kids. So be careful with that. Everything else comes after that. So having clarity on what was most important to me helped me in my decision making, and I began to say no to those things that didn't fall into those important things, my values and my desired goals. I also learned that the importance of gratitude. You know, research has shown that gratitude, it makes you healthier, it makes people happier, and it changes your whole perspective in life. So instead of wallowing in self-pity and doubt, ask, what am I grateful for? Or what could I be grateful for? Number 5, being you bravely means taking action. Small steps each day. Practice new behaviors. Be intentional. Small changes can lead to big results. Habits are hard to break. It takes practice. It's just like exercise, right? If you haven't done it for a while, you get sore muscles. But the more you do it, the stronger you get. And that's how you break habits. Practice setting boundaries and saying no to the things that don't fall into your top priorities. Now, after years of practice, I'm much better. And it's because my focus has changed on what people think of me to what's important to me. One way that helped me focus was writing scripture down on little 3x5 cards. And I'd put them in the bathroom, I'd put them in the kitchen, I'd carry them in my purse, and whenever I was feeling anxious or afraid, or I'd pull that out, and it would redirect my focus. So I didn't go down that negative thinking path. I also gave my husband permission to tell me when I was being critical or judgmental, so that I would be aware right then, oh, I need to be careful what I'm saying. We took time outs in our conversations, began to escalate, and we learned other tools that helped us communicate better. And anytime you're learning something new, it's awkward at first. But over time, it just became natural. And so accomplishing small wins will give you confidence to keep going. Number 6, have the courage to be vulnerable. Choose to live your authentic, unique self. Be yourself, regardless of the situation. Okay, the movie Frozen. Elsa, she closes herself off emotionally, physically. She's isolated herself. False beliefs and fears have made her a prisoner. But through the sacrificial love of her sister, she begins to let her fears go. She lets it go. All right? She doesn't worry about the what ifs. Okay? She embraces her unique abilities. She learns to control her emotions. She learns how to be authentic. So don't be afraid to ask for help, to share your struggles, because you're not alone. When you have the courage to be vulnerable, you're also giving other people permission to be vulnerable. Without risk, there's no reward. And the last point I wanted to make for you to be bravely is to lead by example. Character is how you are when no one's looking. Your character is shaped through adversity. The storms of life help us to know what's important. And your children learn best by example. Not just what you say, but what you do. So ask yourself, is there congruency in my words and my actions and my behaviors? Because oftentimes we'll tell them, you know, don't do this or do this, but we don't always do that. So be sure that you're practicing what you're telling your children. They're watching you. And they're watching how you respond to difficult situations. So have the courage, be brave to persevere and to keep going when you feel like giving up. Have an open mind and an open heart and listen to what God's teaching you. And do your best and He'll take care of the rest. He's refining you just like silver. He's refining you, shaping you. He's preparing you for new opportunity to serve others. So after 38 years of marriage and God's grace and lots of imperfect practice, progress, my husband and I are in love more than ever. And we still have our differences and our conflicts, but we've learned to work through them. God continues to teach us about ourselves through each other. And my children, they now have children of their own. And so it's been a real joy and a real blessing to see them embracing values of family and faith in their own children. And although I would not have chosen some of the events of my life, I'm thankful for what I've learned about myself, about God, and His great love for me. So all those endless days of laundry, diapers, and retelling stories over and over, they're preparing you for what's ahead. Yes, it's a challenging time. It's the best of times and the worst of times. But know that this will soon pass. God provides green pastures, that's what I'm trying to say, in the wilderness. And just like the verse that was read earlier, He provides a way. So you're being shaped, you're being molded for something bigger. So I'd like to close with this poem, The Bend in the Road. Sometimes we come to life's crossroads and we view what we think is the end, but God has a much wider vision and He knows that it's only a bend. The road will go on and get smoother, and after we've stopped for a rest, the path that lies hidden beyond us is often the path that is best. So rest and relax and grow stronger. Let go and let God share your load. And have faith in a brighter tomorrow. You've just come to a bend in the road.